Sunday. What a wonderful church picnic we had yesterday. I mean, if you were there, it was wonderful. If you weren't there, I'm sorry, but it was wonderful. Such good food. I am still feeling the effects of the food. Well, you know, you got the food coma going on when you're just in a dazed look, but what a good time it was. And thank you for coming yesterday, those of you that were there. It was wonderful to have you. We love to do things as a church family, and to have people there makes it even better, because if not, it'd be hard to play the games with no one there. So thank you for coming. I get the honor and privilege of speaking this morning, so thank you for being here. And the ushers are going to lock the door so you can't escape, because now you're here. So thank you for being here. So have you ever, you know, been online or in the paper maybe, or when you scroll through Facebook when you're supposed to be doing something else, and you see those lists, those new top 10 lists, right? You see them every day, right? Those things, those new things you can, all these things. So like 10 new ways to lose weight, 10 keys to success, 10 new ways to control your children, 10 new ways to use a paperclip. There is one way to use a paperclip, and if there's more than one, I'd love to see it. But so this morning we're talking about the keys to the kingdom. And they're not new, they're not a secret, they're not. Lord, I thank you so much for the word. I thank you that every time we open the word, it can become new to us, Lord. That every time we open the Bible, something new and something we can learn different. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been talking about the kingdom of God this year and seeing the kingdom seen in 2017. And so this morning we're going to talk a little about the keys to the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is actually here on earth now, right? It's the time we're living in. But it's also the future. Praise Lord, this is not it. If this was it, I wouldn't be disappointed because I love my life. But praise Lord, there's eternity, right? Amen? Anyone? Anyone looking forward to that? Because in eternity, there's no calories. There's no bedtime. It's going to be great. So we're talking about how we can see God's kingdom seen here on earth now and what it means for the future. So what are these keys all about? Right? There's keys. They're not a secret. They're out in the scriptures. There's someone in scripture this morning I think we can learn from. And, you know, he's only mentioned here in this one little part of scripture for this little short time of his life. But I think what he did had eternal effects on the kingdom. And, you know, some would say he's a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. So we're talking about Zacchaeus this morning. So if you want to open up with me to Luke 19. That's where we're going to be this morning. So Jesus is traveling through Jericho, and Jericho has actually changed a lot since the Old Testament, right? Back when they were walking around it seven times with the trumpets and stuff, it's changed since then. That was in the Old Testament. Now we are forward in the New Testament. Jericho has changed. Herod had acquired Jericho, and he built the city, took the money, he built the city up. It has got buildings. It has got agriculture. It is a main hub for the area. It is right in the middle of the east and the west. It's a place of collection. So the money is collected there. A lot of the tax, the main tax hub for this area. So it's a big area. It's kind of like Huntington Beach. It's just a big hub. And so let's start in Luke 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree, and because he was about to pass that way. So that escalated kind of quickly, right? He wanted to see him, so he jumped a tree. He's going to see Jesus. So we're talking about the first key this morning is your mindset. Your mindset is what you believe. It's what's going on up here. It's what you think. In this particular area, you know, Zacchaeus had a lot going on, right? You heard Jesus was coming. His mindset was, I'm going to go see Jesus, right? There's no Facebook or anything. So to know he was coming, it was word of mouth. So he went, I'm going to go see Jesus. This is what I'm going to do. He wasn't concerned about anything else at that moment but seeing Jesus. Matthew 6:25 through 28 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor what you will drink, nor about your body, or what you will put on. Is life not more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow or nor reap or nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil or spin." So this is the main mindset here the scripture is talking about is worry, anxiousness. So what happens when you're worried, right? You start to get panicky. When you get panicky, it turns into full-blown panic mode. Anyone else? There are so many things on a daily basis that I'm just concerned about, right? Concern turns into worry. Worry turns into panic. You don't want that. There's so many things to be worried about. And this scripture is talking about our clothing and our the things that we need and how all those things, those are all valid concerns, right? You don't want to walk around without clothes. That would not be good. This morning, I was talking to Josh and I said, "Josh, what was I going to wear today?" And it was like 9 o'clock last night when I realized I hadn't tried my shirt on and it did not fit. And it was like 9:30 and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's nowhere to go. What am I going to do? I need to figure this out. I should have figured this out sooner. And then I remembered my message and I was like, oh, right. It's going to be okay. I have backup. I got plenty of clothes in the closet. So I am a parent. I am a mom of the most wonderful boy on this planet because I'm up here so I can say it. He is 9.5 months old. His name is Philip. And I remember when everyone was telling me when I was about to become a mom, you know, these are all the things you need to know. And I was like, okay, I'll put him back here. Sure, thank you. I'll put that on the shelf. I'll keep it back there. Maybe I'll take your advice. Maybe I won't. Now, on the other side, being a mom, I'm like, oh my goodness, what was that advice? Because there are so many things you have to remember when you're being a parent. So many things. And Philip has very, very early on, he's got quite the mindset. Quite the mindset, Philip does. My husband Josh decided to teach Philip to climb the stairs. Yeah, that's right. And that's right. I broke my leg when I was 8 months old, falling down the stairs, right? Philip is around that age. Josh decides to teach him to climb the stairs, right? That there's a connection there. And so we have a playpen for Philip. It's called the Philodome. It is this nice, takes up our entire living room. And when we let Philip out of the Philodome, he goes directly towards the stairs, right for it, right? He's just like, I'm on it. I'm going to the stairs, Mom. And the first few times, you know, we're always with him. Don't worry. We're okay. We're good parents. We stay with him on the stairs. The first few times, you know, he'd get up a couple stairs. He'd get late. He'd get tired. He'd start looking around, and he'd be done, and he would go back down the stairs, right? Now he can climb the whole thing and he doesn't even look back. He's just like, he's focused. He's on it. His mindset is, I'm going to climb those stairs. See you later, Mom and Dad. Like, I'm going for it. There's something at the top of those stairs that I would like. So, right? He's focused, right? He's not worried. He's not anxious. He's not panicked. He hasn't fell down the stairs yet. So he's on it. When we talk to the youth about things like this, I like this analogy a lot. So everyone, if you can look at your hand, please. Put your hand up. I can see you all, and your hands aren't up. Hands up. Thank you. So if you look at your hand, look right at your hand. There it is. My hand is waving. There it is. Okay. If you stare at your hand, everything else behind your hand is what? It's blurry. Right. So if you are so focused on yourself, right? This is me focusing on myself. I'm not seeing anything else. You can put your hands down. Thank you for going along. If you are staring at your hand and at your problems A, B, C, D, E, more room on my hand for problems, right? Then you're not looking around you. Your mindset is not focused on other people. It is focused on you. It is focused on the hand. Having a kingdom mindset means you are putting yourself second. And you are putting others first, right? You're not worried about yourself. You're thinking about others. I remember when the Lord put this message on my heart, we were at youth camp. And I had literally just sat down. And it just was like the Lord just spoke it to me right then and there. And I just wrote the whole thing out while I was sitting there. And you don't preach a message unless it hits you first, right? I'm not exempt, right? I'm not perfect. I am not even close, right? And the Lord reminded me, the more you are anxious, the less you are concerned about others. The more you are focused on you, the less you're able to be focused on others. And then God's kingdom isn't seen because you're not focused. So my question for you this morning, when was the last time you checked your mindset? What are you worried about? Even this morning, it's a nice Sunday morning. It's going to be really hot this week. You might be thinking about the heat. You might be thinking about something else, right? You might be anxious. You might be worried. There might be things on your mind this morning. And let's pause this morning and check our mindset, right? So verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down and hurry. I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down the tree and came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. So number 2, keeping a kingdom attitude. This is outward, right? So our mindset is inward. Our attitude is what displays on our outward from what's going on up here. Jesus called him out, right? He didn't say, hey, you in the tree. He said, Zacchaeus. He knew him. Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Actually, this is the only place in scripture where that title is used, I am pretty sure. So there's other kinds of tax collectors. This is a chief. They know him. He's known throughout Jericho, right? Jericho's a big city like we talked about. They know Zacchaeus. Jesus calls out Zacchaeus in front of all these people, and he joyfully received him. This is Zacchaeus joyfully received Jesus, right? So from what I've read, Zacchaeus probably came to faith in Jesus in the tree. He didn't even make it down the tree. Jesus like, boom, saved in the tree. So, but he said, he was like, come down from the tree. There's obviously, he wasn't done with Zacchaeus. That's what this shows. He was not done with Zacchaeus. There was more to happen in his life, right? And Jesus was passing through Jericho. Wasn't it like he was going to stay in Jericho forever, right? And Jesus had a bigger plan here. It wasn't just Zacchaeus. If Zacchaeus was just focused on himself, that'd be the end. No, Jesus had a bigger plan there. So he came down from the tree. And so everyone else, right? What was their attitude? It was terrible. It was stinky. It's kind of like probably how our attitudes are a lot of time, myself included, right? And if our attitude is a response of what's going on up here, right? Zacchaeus probably was like, you know, I can't see. I can't see. There's too many people, right? He could have gone home. I might have gone home. If it was hot, I especially would have gone home, right? No, he had the right attitude, right? He's like, I'm going to do what I can to see Jesus. He went up the tree, came down joyfully, right? Was happy. Happy he got to see Jesus. So think about this and how often we grumble. Man, I complain probably more than anyone I know. I'll be the first to say it. I complain all the time. It's not good. But when I was called to ministry at the nice age of 17 years old, I remember the shift happened in my mind. I had a mind shift, right? I used to be deathly shy of talking to anyone. Like in public, like that was not my thing. I was very shy. In seventh grade, I did a kangaroo report in science class and I took a 0 because I refused to give it orally in front of everyone. I stood next to my teacher while she read it out loud and I took a 0 and it was really sad. But when I got called to ministry, the Lord changed that in my life. There was a shift that happened so that I would be able to talk to people and not have to stand there quietly because that'd be awkward. So back to my complaining. I don't know about you. I don't like waiting in line. I get antsy. I get panicky like I talked about. It's not good. Maybe yours is something else. Maybe your thing you don't like is something else. But waiting in line, man, anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are. We go to Disneyland a lot, Josh and I and Philip. And my least favorite thing is when people cut in line. And then you're trying to be Jesus to somebody that cuts in line. Oh. And I look at Josh and I'm like, Josh, what are you going to do? Josh. They're clearly cutting line. What are you going to do, Josh? Right? And, you know, I know they can hear me as I complain about them. I mean, we have a baby, for goodness sakes. You can't cut in front of the people with the baby, right? As we're trying to get more churros, right, for ourselves. If we looked at those opportunities, right, when we're complaining or when someone's cutting in line or cutting in front of you in traffic or, you know, when someone's taking too long in the store because they're chatting with the cashier and you're like, come on here, right? If we took those opportunities to stop and think about our attitude, oh man, oh man. Line cutters need Jesus, you guys. They sure do. And we got to give them a break. We got to give everybody a break because we don't know where their mindset's at. Maybe it's not where yours is at. Maybe you're in a different place than them. So instead of worrying, right, we can have the outward confidence that comes through faith in Jesus. Matthew 6:30 says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the fields, which today is alive today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you of little faith?" We can't do it on our own. I had a friend in Bible college who used to say, anything which she would say, she would add with Jesus on the end, right? You can't do anything without Jesus. You always need Jesus, right? You can't go through the day without it because you know what's going to happen. You're going to mess up. You're going to complain. You're going to grumble. You're going to worry. But when we have Jesus, we can take one step in the right direction. Never being perfect because we can't. We can at least take a step in the right direction. Verses 8, back to Luke 19. "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'" So, number 3, keeping kingdom priorities. This is a reflection of what's going on up here and your attitude. It is what your response is. He gave up what he had. That was his response. The change in him resulted in something, right? There was a shift. He got saved up in the tree, came down. There was a shift. He's not the same man that went up into the tree. He's not. A couple of weeks, month ago, was VBS, right? VBS was amazing. It was awesome. Kids' lives were changed forever. Adults' lives were changed through VBS. You know what happened on Friday? We had our VBS baptism, right? 20 people responded to that shift in their heart and their mind, and they got baptized, right? And it was awesome because there was a response. There has to be a shift, right? If you get saved, right, or something happens to you, there's a shift that happened. You can't go out being the same person. If you're the same person, then nothing's happened in you, right? You got to have some sort of, there's got to be some sort of change going on. So we're talking about priorities. So let's say Zacchaeus, busy man. He's a chief tax collector. He's important. If he was too busy to go see Jesus that day, Jesus could have used somebody else, right? Jesus could have used somebody else to preach this message this morning. Thank goodness he didn't, because I'm happy to be here with you this morning. So if he had been too busy, right? Zacchaeus didn't go. He was too busy, right? Then he couldn't have been used by Jesus, right? If Jesus was too busy, what if Jesus was like, let's skip Jericho today. There's too many people there. I'm going to skip it today, right? I'm not going to go there. We're just going to move to the next town instead, right? Instead, then maybe that wouldn't have happened for all those people that day. Zacchaeus was worried about what other people thought. Would he have climbed that tree? Probably not, because he probably looked like a crazy person, right? But we're not called to be like everybody else. We're called to be different. And that's hard, because sometimes it's nice to fly under the radar, right? Just blow it. Right, just in the point of safety where you're not making waves, not doing anything that's too nuts. At camp, high school camp, we talked about being different. We talked about stepping out in your faith and just not being like everybody else. And it was so encouraging because I'm going to tell you, man, the students in our youth group here at this church are so on fire for Jesus. They want to live differently. They want people to see that change in them so they can help other people know who Jesus is. And I understand we're busy people, right? We are. I'm not saying nobody's busy. Everybody's busy. No one's sitting around with nothing to do all day, I don't think, right? If you would, I would love to meet you because I would like to give you some of my things that I do. But there's a priority check here, right? I had recently something went on in my life a while back where it was just like, boom, and it shifted my like whole life, right? And it just... It like rocked me to like who I was. And I had to sit down and I had to think about my priorities in my life. I had to take a good, hard look at my life and say, what am I doing? What am I doing? And you know, when it comes down to it, the way you spend your time right here on earth, because we're not just here, right? There's eternity. It's not gonna matter really the things you kind of do, right? Some of the things we do or the things you collect. I'm a collector of things. I've got more things than I could ever have, need. It's bad. It's a problem I have. But it's not those things, right? My mug collection's not coming to heaven with me. My mug collection is staying here on earth. Unless, you know, I don't know, it's not coming with me. It's not those things, right? The things that we do here, our clothing, all of our nice, all of our stuff, it's not coming with us to eternity. It's our time should be about the people, right? That's what Jesus did. Jesus invested in people. And if we took the time today to stop and say, Lord, what can I do today to partner with your kingdom? Who can I talk to? Who can I come in contact with? Where can I stop and pause and maybe see an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, right? We all have neighbors, right? We all go to the store. We all go to the gas station. We all do all these things. There's people all around us who don't know. And people are hard, and people are messy, and people are flaky, and people forget, and people require, you know, attention, all those things. And it would be so much easier just to go about our lives, come in contact with anyone, and just do what we're supposed to do, and mark off our lists. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to get in there, right? Get in there and make relationships with people and see the kingdom grow and be a part of what Jesus is doing here on earth. If Jesus just saw Zacchaeus get saved, right? He was a part of he saved Zacchaeus, his life, and got him saved and brought him to faith in Jesus, and then decided not to go to the house and just kept on walking after that, all those other people wouldn't have been saved, right? If he was too busy, he wouldn't have done that. But Jesus is never too busy for people. And it doesn't matter who you are or what your life looks like, Jesus is never too busy for you. Matthew 6:31 says, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. When you seek the kingdom first, everything else follows. We cannot do it on our own. With Jesus, always with Jesus. And we're not seeking it for ourselves and our righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's not your righteousness. It's the Lord's. We want to be more like him, right? We want to be made right to be more like him. So I was thinking about this weeks ago, and actually my message started from this point when I was laying in bed one night, and the Lord put a question on my heart, and it just kept me up for hours. And it was, if Jesus stopped today, right? You went home, you started making lunch, right? Put the TV on. You were ready for a great afternoon of silence. Sounds like a good afternoon to me. I don't get silence. I have a 10-month-old. But so you're at home, right? And Jesus comes to your house. Right? You open the door, and it's Jesus. So there's some questions I have for you today. Would you, one, right? There's a few different people, scenarios we're going to go through here. Would you immediately want to bring him in, of course, right? It's Jesus. And you want to get a picture with Jesus and be like, look, it's me and Jesus. I'm going to put this on social media, Jesus. Hashtag Jesus, me and Jesus, right? Here it is. Everyone needs to see it. Get on Facebook, get on all the other ones, right? There it is, right? And you'd forget what Jesus was doing there, right? Because you're too busy thinking about you. Would you run out and get everybody you know? Be like, Jesus, you stay right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get everyone and bring them here so they can see you. Would you, three, right, bring him in, of course, have him sit down, get him a cup of coffee, maybe a cup of juice, I don't know, all of them, the above, get him, it's Jesus, you can bring him everything. So, and then run around your home and start cleaning for Jesus because your house is a mess. That's a reality, right? Like, if you didn't know he was coming, number four, would you immediately bring Jesus in, of course, right? And then you would immediately start in on all the things you want to tell him. Jesus, these are all my ideas. Jesus, these are, like, look at all, here's all my ideas. Jesus, this is what's going on in my life. This is what this person did. This is And then you immediately, you're forgetting what Jesus was even asking what he was doing there, right? Or would you stop, of course, invite Jesus in and sit at the feet of Jesus and find out what he's doing there and what he wants to teach you? And I think we need to stop and do that. We were talking about Mary and Martha, this kind of example in the Bible. And the students are so funny, the kiddos, man. I'm our children's pastor here at our church. And I love their answers when you ask them questions because it's always Jesus. Jesus is always the first answer. I'll ask them, what's your favorite book? Jesus. Okay. Like, what's your favorite thing to do? Jesus. I'm like, okay, guys, awesome. That's always on their mind. Sit at the feet of Jesus. What happens when you have a problem at school? Jesus. Every time. And it's true. That's what they know. They have that mentality, that mindset. Always Jesus. And I think it's important. I do. However, the other day, me and Philip were driving. We were doing some errands. It was hot. Hot day. It's always hot. And I felt like the Lord gave me one more people group this morning. And the reality of the kingdom of God is it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about those who don't know Jesus. And I think there's a fifth group of people, sixth, seventh group of people, whatever number, who open the door, right? They see Jesus, and they're not sure what to do, right? They don't want Jesus to come in, right? Jesus might not like what's going on inside their house, right? They're not sure if it's Jesus. They don't know well enough to recognize if it's Jesus, right? And if we're talking about the kingdom of God, those are the people we're thinking about, those people who don't know Jesus. And that might not be you this morning. You might know Jesus. You might be walking with him for a very long time, but chances are maybe your neighbor doesn't know Jesus, right? Maybe one of your kids' friends don't know Jesus. Your coworkers might not know Jesus. And we can take that time and get those people one step closer to knowing Jesus, right? And those are the people we want to reach, right? We're not trying to reach ourselves. That's not the right mindset. And we have a kingdom mindset and a kingdom attitude, and the priorities that we need, we stop and we put others first, and we know that we can help others come to the love of Christ, and that's what it's all about. So let's go ahead and pray this morning. I don't know which one of those people you were this morning, but as we stop and think about it this morning, let's remember the most important thing is stopping and coming to the feet of Jesus and asking him what we can do. How can we partner with what he's doing? And maybe you are that person that wouldn't let Jesus in your house if he came in your house today. Maybe you said, I'm too embarrassed. I'm not ready. I don't think he would like it if he came to my house today. Maybe that's you this morning. And as we continue to close our eyes, I'm gonna go ahead and pray for us this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in the kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that if anyone doesn't know you this morning and they're too nervous to have you at their house this morning, that they can know that the love of Jesus covers all things. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, you can go ahead and pray with me this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you've done on the cross and how you've saved my sins, Lord. I thank you that no matter what, we can always go to you and let you in, Lord. And that you come in and you help us clean our house, Lord. You come in and you change things in our lives so that we can be more like you. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray you give us the mindset, the attitudes, and the priority to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. And keep us in check so that we can be a part of what you're doing here on earth and in eternity, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we're going to go ahead and sing, and we can continue to just think about that and reflect on that this morning.
Just begun to see. Father's perfect love. Your kingdom is at hand, and the gates of hell won't stand. Now in victory, we lift our song again. Would you join me in stand and worship? Praise His rise.
What your house looks like. He just wants to hang with you. So, Father, whoever that's for, I just pray, Lord, that as you stand at their door, that they would open up their door and say, gosh, it's been a long time, Lord, but I miss you and I want you back. So, Lord, whoever that's for, heal their broken hearts, Lord, and come in and just hang with them. And if that's you, or if you responded to Allison's prayer before, I want you to come up at the end of service and pray with our prayer people that will be up here. So welcome, everybody, as we transition the service. My name is Pastor.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.